This special live episode of Shockwaves from the Texas Frightmare Weekend Convention is brought to you by Fright Rags, your number one source for horror apparel. If you take a look at the video version of this episode, you're going to notice that the entire Shockwaves crew is wearing Fright Rags t-shirts, as well as socks, although you won't be able to spot that. Personally, my latest buys were the Jeff Goldblum Face Fly t-shirt, a classic Halloween 4 one-sheet poster as a baseball tee, and one of the new designs from their Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon collection. Also new, they've just debuted their Happy Death Day line. So head on over to fright-rags.com right now and order yourself some killer wear today. This episode is also brought to you by Fangoria. In July of 1979, the first issue of Fangoria was released into the world. And now, this summer, Fangoria magazine is turning 40 and celebrating accordingly with its fourth issue. 100 pages of exclusive, carefully curated content honoring horror's past, present, and future. These articles and interviews will never be published online, so the only way to read them is by getting your hands on a physical, collectible copy of your own. We can't give away anything yet because we want you to experience it and have it be a surprise, but we can safely say that you do not want to miss a single page in issue 4. We are celebrating in style. Head on over right now to Fangoria.com to learn more and to subscribe. And if you subscribe today, your subscription starts with the 40th anniversary issue, which is issue number 4, shipping in July. Use the code SHOCKWAVES to save 10% off your subscription. That's right, just type in SHOCKWAVES and you'll get 10% off of Fangoria. Tonight's Shockwaves is also brought to you by Shudder. AMC Network Shudder is a premium streaming video service super serving fans of all degrees with the best selection of horror and thrillers. Shudder's irrepressible and thriving community revels in all things provocative, evocative, and dangerous. From bantering with Shudder on social media and contributing fantastic irreverent reviews to relishing in member-only perks such as exclusive releases and VIP movie screenings. Shudder believes there is safety in numbers, so don't be left in the dark alone right now. You could stream Shudder right now for $4.99 a month or $49.99 a year. Shudder has the largest, fast and growing human-curated selection of thrilling and dangerous entertainment. They've also got great originals like the documentary Horror Noir. It's the only place that you could find Joe Bob Briggs in The Last Drive-In, and plenty of original content such as the upcoming One Cut of the Dead. So try Shudder right now for 30 days free. Go to shudder.com/podcast. That's shudder.com/podcast. And use the promo code WAVES. That would be WAVES. And you're going to get 30 days free.
Welcome to the Shockwave Podcast, Texas Frightmare Edition.
For those who have never heard of us before, who are you?
I am Rebecca McKendry.
I'm Ryan Turek.
I'm Ghoulish Gary Pullen.
Our special guest, I'm Rob Galizio.
I'm Elric Kane.
Thank you, guys.
The four of us, Gary is our special guest today, the four of us represent Shockwaves. Shockwaves is a podcast from Blumhouse Productions. The three of them, Elric, Rob, and Becca, came from Killer POV, and I also did a podcast that was part of the same network, but Bloodcast. No one talks about it, called The Bloodcast.
It was pretty cool.
All about True Blood.
Yeah. I just sat back and watched them copy what Clark and I were doing so well.
Oh,
never. Shots fired already.
Yes,
it's like 11.
Anyways,
guys.
we're now 143 episodes strong. Correct? Was this episode 144?
We're not numbering this one.
Yeah, but we'd like to thank Texas Frightmare for having us back. This is the convention's 14th year, and it's presented by Arrow Video. So thank you very much, Texas Frightmare. And thanks to all of you, because we are now seeing this crowd grow with each year. They put us in the big room this year, which
yeah,
is
we made it to the big room, guys. This is awesome.
Wow.
We graduated. Yay. But we have a special topic that we want to get into. Becca, do you want to explain?
Yeah, so we had always wanted to do this, but there was always a question about kind of how we would present it, because it is such an audio, or not audio, but more of a visual thing. And since we were in the big room this year, we were like, let's get fucking fancy. So we have decided to count down our personal favorite VHS artworks. For everybody.
In honor of our guests.
In honor of our guests.
Who does incredible artwork.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Gary is someone I've known since his Rumorg days. We spent a lot of good times in Toronto. He's a great designer, a great illustrator. What booth are you at, Gary, so we could plug that?
167, right beside the Mondo booth.
He's got a fantastic book out. He's got some terrific prints. But, you know, when we talk about artwork, it's probably best to bring someone who... DJ
Red, turn your phone off.
Come on, man. It's good to have someone who knows their shit about illustration and art. So, you want to get into it, guys?
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
Do you want to do some...
Let's do a little context. So, I was talking to Gary yesterday about it, but if you want to explain what you picked and why, because I think we were all pretty much in sync with this, because it's not like these are the five best VHS covers
no.
that you think of.
I mean, picking a VHS cover is a lot different than picking your favorite movie poster, you
Definitely.
Know. It's sort of like you're not in the theater, you're in the aisles at a, you know, rental store. So that's sort of the criteria that I chose. And, if you get them up, I can tell you what I picked, but...
I'm sorry, I'm going to have to call next slide.
I can look up and...
Next slide, please. Next slide, please.
There we go.
There we go. Yay!
Videotapes.
And apparently the snazzy horror font I use is not accepted by their computer, guys, so I hope we all enjoy whatever font that is.
Didn't pay for it.
Font crime.
I love that somebody has rented Basket Case, because there's 2 and 3 and a space.
Oh,
I love that.
Yeah.
So that is good taste video out. Store.
So next slide, please.
Oh, no, I was basking in this image. Hang on a second.
Oh, sorry. There's a lot of video store footage in this.
I don't think Ambition should be in there. Amityville Curse, Before I Hang.
Next slide, please.
Okay, next slide. Yeah.
So I thought we would start by looking at kind of what VHSs looked like at the time, because this is where it started for me. Is I remember my parents got their first VCR when I was probably 5 years old. This was a big fucking deal. I remember the first thing that we bought was Black Hole for some reason. So
cool.
We did, our video store, I grew up in Connecticut, and my folks rented VCRs from the local video mom and pop shop.
Yeah.
And, if you guys heard the episode in which my dad was on, he told some stories about me growing up and grooming me to watch horror films. But he would rent a VCR, and then he would get like films like Nightmare on Elm Street and Critters. I remember that was like the twofer that he got. And I couldn't watch Nightmare on Elm Street, but I could watch Critters. And then I would listen to Nightmare on Elm Street from the bedroom door. But that was the way it was. You rented a VCR, and it was an evening. It was kind of like how films are today, where it's like you roll up with a bunch of money. You plan an event. You plan to watch a film.
Yeah.
You know? It's not like sitting there in front of Netflix and spending 2 hours looking at boxes and wondering what to watch.
You had to reserve the movie if you really wanted to get it. Yeah. Remember that? Yep. Hey, can you hold Thriller? Like, I need to see Thriller.
Yeah.
And, you had to really just get it reserved.
Yep. Elric, in your pocket of the world, was this the same?
It was. I mean, it probably came a couple years later, I think, than in America. We never had, what was the first one? The big tapes on the top? What's that called?
That's what my parents had, was the top-loading one, where basically the top lifted off, and you would have to use both hands to press it back down, and it was really
creepy. Oh, yeah. Cha-chunk.
Rewinding took the same length of the movie.
And they would make really odd sounds, and you weren't sure if they were just working or if they were broken.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think it swept. I mean, I think this was an international fever that hit. You know, I think there was nothing quite like it at the time when VHS really kind of... I mean, it was just the ability to play this stuff at home and, you know, bypass the waiting, you know, and the cost of cinema. And for me, it was... The real draw became the... I don't know what it was here, but I think it was 4 films for, you know, Friday to, like, Monday or something that you could rent for, like, $10.
Right, yeah. There was a limit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, and yeah, again, I think the biggest difference in our viewing habits has been, you know, skin in the game. You know, it's just, it's so radically different. When you get that tape in your hand and you have spent that money and it is gone now, you are going to watch every single second from the pre-trailers, you know, the coming attractions, which I always loved, or preview attractions, I don't know what it's called here, to the end. And it would probably a couple times on that weekend. Whereas now it's like you said, it's really, for some of us, I think it's almost impossible to choose what to watch. And that's why I love recommendations.
To the next slide, because I think it's going to go to where we want to head. Next slide. There we go.
Oh, beautiful.
So, remember those?
I don't know how people date anymore, because when I was in high school, this was where you dated. Like, you would go here, and you would have your date with you, and you would spend an hour picking out a movie, and you could gauge whether or not you were keep going out with this person based on this, like how it went at the video store.
And Becca, what was the movie with you and your husband Dave that solidified it? If I'm not mistaken,
Last Boy Scout. We watched
Last Boy Scout.
First date. I can still recite most of it. Yeah, but I think I can remember that with a lot of like pinpoints of my life. Like, oh yeah, we went to the video store together. We rented, you know, Deep Red or whatever it was. Like, I have these moments of, like, staring at movies in the video store.
Yeah.
I figured out a girl cheated on me once in a video store. It was kind of amazing. I was in college, and I had never seen Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, and I'd been away for a while, and we're walking through the video store aisle, and she goes, I said, oh, we should rent Lock, Stock, and she goes, yeah, we already saw that. And I just looked over at her and went,
Oh, wow.
And when I watched that movie, I fucking hated it. True story.
Well, I remember I worked at a Blockbuster in Manhattan, and there was this girl I had a crush on. She was a manager, and one day I went in, and she was no longer on the schedule. And I was like, oh, no, what happened to, I forgot her name, we'll just call her Tracy. I was like, what happened to Tracy? And they're like, yeah, she got fired. And I was like, why did Tracy get fired? She was sleeping with the other district manager in the back room of Blockbuster after hours.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Video store friskiness.
Yes.
Wow. Of course, I was such a nerd. I was like, I kind of wanted to have
a stack of Jerry Maguire tapes.
I had a little mom and pop shop that was literally walking distance from my place. And what I was way too young to watch any stuff. But the guy that ran it, I wish I remembered his name. He was a punk rock dude. He had a giant mohawk, was there every day with like earrings and stuff. He kind of looked like Bobcat Goldthwait in the Police Academy movies. So he had that vibe to him. Yeah. And I would come in, and I'd always like test the limits. So I'd like go up to the counter. I'm like 12, and he was like, "I spit on your grave," and like Henry Porter of a Serial Killer. And he's like, "Have fun, little dude." and that's it. So like I rented anything, anything.
I was allowed to too.
Yeah.
At first, I had to show a parent's note at my local video store, and then after a while, it's like you don't need that. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Gary, what was that?
Here's Driller Killer. Go ahead.
When you were super young, what were those tapes that you were renting and getting away with?
Oh, like Nightmare on Elm Street, Evil Dead, some of the big ones. Zombie was, when I saw Zombie, Fulci's Zombie, that was like a game changer. But they would let me rent pretty much anything.
Yeah, I remember my folks had to you had to leave your name on the membership card.
Oh, wow.
So my parents would say, Ryan is allowed to rent whatever it was. So it was like R-rated movies. But you had to leave a name behind.
My parents would just rent whatever I handed them. Literally, ex-hippies. They were just like, whatevs. And so I saw everything way too early. But on that note, let's move to the next slide.
Becca's keeping us on point, by the way.
I am. Way to go. We only have an hour today. So we are staying on task, people. Okay, next slide.
Maybe we don't give her power points.
To the family rental of I Dismember Mama.
Wow.
Honeymoon.
The door swishman's great.
I do like that Silent Night, Deadly Night is looming over their shoulder.
So, yeah.
Don't rent the bride, kids. The bride's up there. Don't rent that.
So, yeah, I think that is, including that gorgeous hair with the spray, I think that's what I kind of remember is standing in the horror section just staring at the covers, trying to decide which one looks best. And the covers were often very deceptive, where you were staring at this, absolutely amazing artwork, and then you take it home and be like, meh.
Yeah.
But as Elric mentioned, you had just paid like a couple bucks to rent that, and it was literally all you had for the weekend, so you were going to watch every single minute of Slivis, and that's just the way it went down.
Slivis. Well, and I also love that the great thing about VHS covers is somehow, even when you'd watch the movie and you didn't like it, you'd go back to the video store a couple months later, you walk through, that same cover could get you again. Like, there are certain movies that I watched like four times, and each time I fucking hated the movie, and I'm like, oh, but that art is pulling, it's an amazing, that's why it's such a special art form. I love it.
Also, when you flip it around, too, I mean, like the cover art will get you, and then you turn it over to see if there are more images to lure you
in. Yeah, exactly.
And sometimes, if the box is good, it'll give you at least four publicity stills, and you're like, sold, I'm getting this.
Yeah.
Sometimes it would just be another singular image, and you're like, fuck, man. Yeah.
Or a synopsis.
Or just a synopsis.
Yeah, and that's all we had. I mean, you couldn't go online and check if it was good or not.
I remember the Parasite one, because it had that awesome
such
picture
a great
of
cover.
The teeth. It looked like a Bava's Devilfish poster, but it had Demi Moore's face in the middle, and then you flip it over and it's the same image. But I read it like nine times, so it worked. So we'll move on to the next slide. Ooh. And so we see some of the art. These were some of our runner-ups when we were picking our top five. So these were some that were just barely outside the cut. Like the Germaniac one fucked me up as a kid. Not the movie, just the cover.
I've never even heard of Dreammaniac. Anybody?
It might be called something else.
I've seen this cover.
It's a Charles Band one. Yeah. Like Three on a Meat Hook features only two, but it's cool.
I guess the killer gets on a meat hook at some point.
Yeah.
Who's a Prom Night 2 fan here? Anyone?
Yeah.
That movie's so good. And I didn't even really ever look at the cover very closely, realizing that it's also a coffin. Like, my brain just goes, hey, she looks dead and she's in a locker. But, of course, there's a double meaning to it. Yeah.
Like, I'm Elves was one I rented in repetition because the cover was so cool. And,
I'm seeing a lot of big hair.
Big hair, like, man. Big hair.
Tied together here.
It was the 80s.
It was.
Well, it's also because they were on, like, every Molly Hatchet and Iron Maiden album. Those, like, cool curvy swords that are only used in like satanic sacrifices in the 1980s of Frightmare.
That's right.
So next slide. And then we also had these ones, the gimmicky box covers.
Oh man, Dead Pit for sure. Holy cow.
Dead Pit, the eyes lit up and everything.
That
I
was
Bleeders, because I would play with it. I still have my original one and all the blood's dried up now, but it still loved
Gary,
it.
Gary, do you have any of these?
Not yet.
Oh, you mean do I own any of the
Blu-ray? I have Demon Wind and Frankenhugger.
Is the
I'm not much of a VHS collector.
Yeah.
I had some from when I was a kid, but that's just a whole new thing that I can't spend money on. I'm into posters and vinyl, so that's quite enough. We have a house to pay for.
How many VHS collectors are out there?
God bless you.
Okay.
Handful. That's cool. I have Frankenhooker, by the way, which I remember when I rented it, but I worked at Amoeba, which is a big record store in L.A., and I found it for a dollar, and it still worked. You press it, and it goes, want a date? But now it goes, want a date? So it's kind of... I don't
just
know
got
how
more
to change the battery.
That Dead Pit was disappointing. I remember loving the cover, and the movie was pretty crushingly disappointing.
Well, and the same with Demon Wind, which is an amazing cover, and I just discovered it maybe a year ago before Vinegar Syndrome announced it. And my buddy Josh Miller, who we reference a lot on the show, he does the podcast Best Movies Never Made. We want to make movies based on the cover that didn't deliver. meaning like, we want to make that freaking movie that's on the front of Demon Wind, because that dude's not in the movie.
No, I don't.
But I want to see him
in the movie.
And so we have a long list of movies of people that aren't in it. Like, let's make that movie.
That's a good idea. I'd be on board for that.
Yeah.
And so within this, a huge kind of collector culture and kind of a nostalgia resurgence has happened. So let's move to our next slide, which is where we feature Ryan Turek's Slashback video.
Oh cool. Thanks, Becca.
You're welcome, Ryan Turek.
So I had a. Yeah.
Tell us about Slashback.
Have any of you been to Slashback?
Well, if you go to the next slide,
oh, cool.
There it is.
Okay, so
great.
That was Slashback.
That was 2 years ago.
That was Slashback 1.0. Yeah, that was the first year. Basically, Slashback video is just a way to, basically tip a hat to the video store days. There's a generation of horror fans that don't understand what a video store is, and they don't understand how beautiful the box art is and how beautiful the experience is
of
going to a video store and picking up something tangible, looking at that art, looking at the long worded synopses of each film and just kind of going in and just feeling something tangible. So myself, my wife, and our partners at the Mystic Museum in Burbank just said, you know what, let's put together an immersive experience that is a throwback to the 80s heyday of the Mom and Pop Video Store. And it's all horror VHS tapes, thanks to my collection, our collection, Devin Whitehead, who does a lot of stuff for Cavity Colors. This kid has got a giant, I call him kid, but I've known him since he was a kid, but giant collection of VHS tapes. Mm-hmm. I mean, like a lot of that stuff there is his.
Wow.
But yeah, and then all the, you know, all the posters and the standees are just things that we tracked down and found through eBay and whatnot. But yeah, it's just like a little museum. It's a and what I hope Slashback can become, you know, much like Indiana Jones, where it's like it belongs in a museum. It's like I want people to send us these VHS tapes so we can archive them and put them in experiences like this. Mm-hmm. And we did it 1 year, 2 years ago, and then we did one last year. We're not going to do one this year just because I'm not excited about any of the ideas we have for Slashback 3, but we'll probably come back early next year with it. So,
cool.
And
cool.
Next slide. Okay, so let's get into our countdown. That is not my fault.
Becca, can I pause you for 1 second? I don't mean to put you on the spot, but a girl walked in. I think she's back there with the red hair, and I think she had a t-shirt that said Shockwaves and Chill.
Shockwaves and chill.
Damn.
So wow. Kudos to you.
It's beautiful.
Had to point that out. Sorry.
It's beautiful.
I just want to hear about a first date where they're like, we just kick back and listen to you guys.
Why would you listen to us on a date?
2.5 hours of chill. That's a lot of pressure.
Like, Elric gets me in the mood.
Not at 1.5 speed, though. Never. Never at 1.5 speed.
So we will dive into our countdown. So let's go ahead and go to the next slide. So, in the number 5 slot for everybody, note the cool horror graphics that I used for the number.
Well done,
here.
Well done.
Yes. So, in number 5 slot, let's go ahead. I think I start with Ryan. So, next slide.
Whoa. Yes.
Trick or treat. This is my number 5 because nothing says more than, my parents do listen to this, but I don't mean this literally, but F you, Mom and Dad. And Trick or Treat, you know? I mean, it was like one of those movies
Sammy
that would go
Kerr.
In. I mean, it was like you would go in, and it's got a heavy metal rocker, flames, Satan, a demon. This spoke to me so hard.
Oh, yeah.
And it was obviously the number one movie that I could not rent. In fact, I actually think I tried to convince my folks, who are always supportive of my horror love, and I was like, let's go see this, but they must have read a New York Times review, and it was like, this movie is about Satan, and they were like, no. So you better believe it. When this came out on VHS, I tried one more time. When that didn't happen, I had a friend rent it. But that is an incredible cover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And next slide.
Zombie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that image, I mean, before I even rented it, because I don't even think I had the courage to rent it based on that cover. Like, you know, but that was the thing. Like, you'd scan the horror aisle and you'd see, like, you know, whatever, the franchise stuff, and it's cool and all that. Yeah. And then you see that and you're like, that shouldn't be visible to people.
And it looks real, too.
It looks real.
It's not an illustration. Gross. It's a photo.
It's something that scares you. And it's like, so it took me forever to finally rent and see the movie. Yeah. But this is one of those video boxes that will, you know, again, that was the whole point of this exercise. Like, what stuck with you?
Absolutely.
This has never left me. And this is still one of my favorite covers of all time.
Well, yeah. It's also terrifying because it says, we are going to eat you.
Yeah, exactly.
That VHS is going to jump off the shelf.
Yeah, yeah.
Action
and mess
sentences you up. Sell.
Yeah. I also like the comeback, and it was very prevalent in the 80s, but it's come back big time in design now, of the color pink in the strangest places. Like, pink is just mm-hmm. So you've got a pink highlight on this image. It's just not logo? What you expect. But then Drive came back, and suddenly pink was on every design. I love it.
Yeah.
It's just such a great contrast.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, it's good, bright color.
Yeah.
Well, we have an artist here, Gary. What is that?
I mean, like, it's just like a retro. It just says retro. I don't know what it is. It's like the magenta. You know, it says 1980s.
Yeah, like 10 to midnight. I remember
cyan, magenta, those two colors.
And next slide. So yeah, Body Shop.
Oh.
So the movie.
Wow.
Meh. But this cover melted my brain as a child. The movie is like, it's kind of Herschel Gordon Lewis-y sans the whimsy, but this was just remarkable for me, just because it was just everything on display, and the face, and I absolutely love this cover. So
it's not often you see the artist's signature at the bottom either.
You can see it on the box. That's cool.
Oh, yeah.
What's it say?
John Hall.
John Hill.
It looks like Hell.
Or John Hell on.
86.
John Hell on.
Yeah, such good art.
Anyone seen this film in this horror? Yeah, it's one of those ones. Everyone's seen the cover,
only
but no one's
one
actually
person
seen
Body Shop. Is it a done?
A thumbs down from it.
This isn't one of my favorites. It's one that terrified me. I saw this art when I was 8, and I was like, oh my God.
No, the art melted me, but the rest of the movie.
Someone could do that to someone?
Okay, so let's move on to, I think Elric is next. No, next slide.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a good one. All of us who are OG and we don't know what phenomena is, right, until years later, we saw Creepers.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of posters. There's a lot of different posters. You have the really cool photographic one, too. But what I loved about this film, this poster cover, is like all great things, none of this really happens. It's one of the great myths of these movies, how they take an idea. So at no point is Jennifer Connelly's face chewed up and eaten by insects. But yet, somehow, by these interesting mistruths, they get to a closer approximate of what the movie actually is. Because somebody's face will be chewed up. There's no baboon with a switchblade in this, which is a shame. But the insects are great. I love the design. I love the depth of that, because she's great in the foreground with her hand, but the insects keep going behind her. Yeah, no, it's, I don't know, this and the yellow, there's something really like sickly and gross about it. I don't know. I also really like this film, and I actually like this cut of the film more than Phenomena. I think Phenomena puts too much back in. I think Argento's best at like 85 minutes, you know? Yeah. And I love Argento, but I love it when it moves.
And also, it's a VHS cover that promotes a bunch of bands that are featured on the soundtrack.
Right.
Bill Wyman, Iron Maiden, and Motorhead. You didn't see that often.
And it delivers on that. but yeah, no, this is a great cover. I wish we knew more, like look even when we were prepping for this, I wish there was more of a database for the artists. Like there's something about me going, I wonder if I'd start to see connections between who these people were.
There are fans that put up high-res scans of their covers.
You can see the
watermark. So you can find some of those. But
yeah, VHSCollector.com is actually a good resource.
Yeah,
for this
it's
stuff.
Wonderful. Okay, there you go. Yeah, some of these are watermarked. Okay, next slide. Gary.
Yes.
Yeah. Classic.
One of the best.
That was the year right there that Freddy Mania was in full swing. Come on. It's just a brilliant composition.
And for those listening
about it,
it's Nightmare on Elm Street 3 Dream Warriors.
Yeah. It's just brilliant. I loved everything about it. Dokken, I was a huge fan of course. That was coming home with me when I saw that.
Yeah. And you talk about the composition. It's just beautifully laid out, and the way she's
absolutely
precision of her like standing on the blade itself.
Yeah, no, everything about it is incredible. It's by Matthew Peake, who did pretty much all of the Nightmare posters, and his father was Bob Peake, who did Apocalypse Now and many.
He did the Star Trek.
Yep.
Star
Trek posters. Yeah, he has a book out. He's incredible, and his son, you know, became an incredible poster artist as well. So.
Now this one's awesome with that gossamer gown in the front
and
how well centered. It's just gorgeous.
Yeah, and I love how they gave Freddy like an anatomical eye or something. Mm-hmm. You know, like
which was a
the muscles
through,
are breaking out.
It was a theme through some of them. I mean,
for sure.
Five,
right?
By four,
I love
he's
that.
Like ripping like cartilage off of his.
It's like
face
it's like breaking that fourth wall or something. Yeah. I don't know. It's surreal. It gives it that surreal kind of aspect.
And he's almost got a jack-o'-lantern mouth too, which is interesting.
Oh yeah, yeah, exactly. It's kind of like his teeth are kind of jack-o'-lantern-like.
I love this VHS cover so much that I tracked down the original one sheet, and it hangs in my kitchen, signed by Robert Englund. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Center.
Beautiful. Yeah, it's just one of my favorite images I ever grew up with.
Nice. Yeah. And it's still Scary Freddy. I love that. You know, it's still part three.
Yeah.
He's
still
looking at you. The tagline's looking at you.
Yep.
Talking to you directly, especially when you're young. I mean, we now, you know, it's hard to scare a lot of us in some way. But when you're little and you're, like 10, and you're looking at that cover and he's looking at you and you're reading, I'm not going to get out alive, you go, oh, fuck. Maybe I should go back to that zombie thing that's going to eat me in 2 days. Like, how do I make this choice? Either way, I'm fucked. You know?
Well, the other thing, too, is this is in the wake of Nightmare 2, and horror fans felt a little burned by Nightmare on Elm Street 2. So this just kind of screamed a return to form. Freddy is back as you know him.
Mm-hmm. So. Great poster for Nightmare 2.
Yeah.
That was a really good poster. So we'll move on to the next slide. And we have our number four.
Squishy.
Needs a fire sound.
And next slide.
Yeah. Cheerleader camp.
It's great.
This says so much. I got to stand up for this. Okay.
Oh.
Okay, so this is what I love about this. Okay, so beyond the sex appeal you have with the half boob going on,
half
and
boob.
The kind of gnarly skull face, but she's still kind of sexy. You've got a little madcap, you know.
I've never noticed that monster in the background. Ever.
The chef with the mallet chasing the, you know, the mascot. You get the cheerleaders. You got a little bit. You got this dude on the left taking photos of the sunbathers. It just says so much. And when you're 13 and you're at a video store and you're looking for, like, you know, you're looking to mix things up. Cheerleader camp is the one for you. And you know what? I will back this movie. It's,
yeah,
it's,
you like it. I was going to ask you.
I do like the movie. I'm waiting for it to hit Blu-ray, but I have the VHS cover. I mean, I have the VHS instead, so, and it's in shitty condition. But yeah, it just screams 80s, and all the things that I liked about it.
Absolutely,
you know?
Yeah.
Because I was balancing my media diet. I was like balancing horror movies with movies like Bachelor Party.
Oh, yeah, I love Bachelor Party.
You're an adolescent boy growing up on the East Coast. You want horror and you want sex. And you would sneak away and go see these movies, you know? And this just, like, pulled it all together.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that our parents won't talk to us about sex as kids, but they'll let us learn from this. I mean, it's just so crazy.
Yeah.
And next slide.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
This is Waxwork. This is my pick, Waxwork. This still to this day is one of my favorite movies of, like, all time. And it's just, I love monster mashes. It's like, to me, there's nothing better than having, you know, a movie could have a monster, but if you got a bunch of monsters, I'm in love with it. And so, you know, right down at Abner Costello Meet Frankenstein, the Monster Squad, I love Waxworks. And this image, I mean, it's cool because it doesn't really give away that you're going to get a werewolf, Dracula,
no,
the mummy, yeah, like all that. It draws you in that you're going to get something interesting, and then you get the movie, and that's the surprise. Yeah. Like, that's I'm getting all the classic monsters.
Yeah. That's why you need to sell a film.
Yeah.
It's a good concept, a striking image.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to have what's happening in the movie.
Yeah,
I still believe that, actually.
I do,
too. I still think that's a real thing, you know?
Yeah.
And you give it a sense of urgency, you know? It's like, you need to rent this movie. And I love the tagline, is more fun than a barrel of mummies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It gives the comic tone a hint.
And that does exactly, live. Yeah. That's a movie that lives up to that, for sure.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
Waxworks is great. Okay, next one. So, The Headless Eyes. Another wizard. So this is another one where the poster I find to be more tantalizing than the actual film. I actually use this in my class at USC to teach horror marketing, like how you market horror films, because this is just
cool.
A phenomenal poster. And even tacking that too gory for the silver screen, who the fuck said that? It's not like this film, it's not a banned film or anything crazy like that, but just tacking that on makes it way more tantalizing for me. Just the perspective, how they used up the field here with the city behind her. Is the eye sentient? I'm so intrigued now, so I just love this one.
She looks like she had a bad day at work and was taking a nap.
I know, she's like, oh, I can't deal
as opposed
with Dale
to being
anymore,
in pain.
And there's an eyeball there.
Pro tip for artists, you can never go wrong with a giant eyeball on your cover. It always works. I've used it. I continue to use it.
Yeah.
So next slide.
The Kindred.
Elric. The Kindred.
Elric. The Kindred.
I don't know. There's a monster in a baby bottle. I mean, I didn't get to see this one till way later. I remember seeing this cover and going, what the hell is this movie? And it wasn't until a few years ago, for listeners, you probably remember when I got so excited when I finally saw this film. Because it actually delivers. It actually completely delivers on the premise of this image, and probably more so. But also, this is one of the classic ones why I wanted to show the back of it. Because when you get to the back, you go, look, when you're 10, what are you looking for? A Rod Steiger film, right? Number one. And then something crazy with tentacles. It's just, you look at that and you go, oh, okay. I have to see this movie. Cut to 15 years later, I finally did. But it took a while. But this is just, who's seen this one here? Okay. It's a really strange film,
it's
right?
It's good.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
But it's also just really strange because it's like about half-brothers and weird science experiments and things. The one woman, she has like weird slots in her neck. She's like a fish woman
it's
or something.
It's Lovecraftian.
Yeah.
It really
yeah.
is.
Yeah. But in a goofy way. So, I mean, I don't know. It's such a simple design. Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask Gary because I agree with you completely. I don't think you need to show what's on the cover to sell, but What is the point? And have you ever had pushback, say, on a poster where you've maybe taken a risk where somebody, I was just looking at, say, the headless eyes, I was thinking, okay, but if the headless eyes, if I watched that and there was no point where the eye did something or that happened, maybe I would get a negative comment being like, but it doesn't deliver.
Sometimes
on
you have to convince the client that this image really works. I have pushed back on certain things. Because I know what works, you know. Mm. I like to think I do, anyway. Sometimes they're you know, they come back with good feedback, and you know, they tell me what they're looking for, and it's a relationship.
And I guess we don't know how this would have worked in the modern tweeting social media era of protests. I mean, Becca, your one. I mean, you didn't get your cover is an amazing art piece for all the creatures, and I think you're doing this exact marketing. And you didn't hear many comments about the main image not being in the film.
No, it's not a essence, single one actually. But that cover was what certain markets were looking for. Like Redbox had told us point blank that they would take us off the cover, which is kind of crazy to think about it. I mean, they watched the film and everything, but it was the cover. And literally, all I did was. It was Devin Whitehead did my art, and I sent him like four of my favorite VHS covers, including Chopping Mall and Elves.
No,
and I sent him like four, and I was like, if you can kind of combine these into some mutant baby, that's what I want on the cover. And nobody said anything about it.
No, that's good for the artist too, though. You know, you're sending reference shots. This is what we want. You know, that's always good.
Like as long as it delivers on the feeling.
Yeah,
the
as long image, as it delivers on the feeling. Yeah.
I think that's right.
So we will move on to the next slide.
Oh, that image.
Sorry, I'm kind of losing my voice. I've been talking all weekend. I apologize.
This Halloween is 3 for
Halloween
sitting at home.
I mean, I think the first one is the benchmark, but this one just blew me away. Like the skull at the top, the shadows of the kids is just burned in my psyche.
Yeah.
It's creepy. It's cool. It's autumn. It's you know, it just really captures Halloween, you know, in one simple image. And that skull is just so rad, you know. And I like that it looks like it's a mixture of illustration and photography.
Yeah.
It's done really, really well.
Mm-hmm. And it's great that audiences embraced a Halloween film without Michael Myers. That's the main thing, right? The night no one comes home. I'm actually glad they were brave enough to even put that on the cover. Yeah. The night no one comes home. That's cool.
I think I always liked Halloween 3, though. I don't know. It's one of those things. Yeah. Like, it wasn't like, oh, no, you know, but like, I love that movie now, obviously. Like,
yeah. Oh, I was at viewing. I remember renting. I mean, it's one of my favorites now, but I remember watching it with a group of people who were just like, they wanted to throw the TV out the window. I mean, that's how upset they were. Because they had no, there was no press about this stuff. I mean, I don't think Fangoria would have come out that early, but it's just like you just watch 1 and 2. You didn't see them in theaters. You were probably binging them with 3.
Yeah.
You sit down to watch a movie and you're just sitting there going, oh, it'll probably be at the end. It's going to come. Yeah, it's after that. Wait, and then the ending and there was no Michael Myers. So I do think it's those expectations are interesting, and that's why I still think it's really dangerous to judge movies when they come out. You know, it's like this moratorium of like 1 year. You can really judge the worth of something.
Yeah.
And this movie, to me, is just like, this is the one I want to watch every year now.
Oh, for sure.
By far.
Pretty much, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So entertaining.
Okay, so let's move into 3. And next slide.
Woo! Chopping Mall.
All right.
Chopping Mall, in which there is a film where there is no killer with a robot-gloved hand, nor is there a bag of body parts.
See, I want to make that movie now.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Exist.
Yeah. Let's do it. Yeah, this was always just, you know, this was just beyond the title, which is very alluring, and you're like, haha, puns. You know, it just speaks to you. I mean, look at this thing. I wish I had the flip side to see if they actually showed the robot. I forgot if they did or not. But I don't know. I just love the layout of it. I love the gloved hand or the robot hand. It was just, you know, any film, any VHS box cover that had body parts, on it, you knew you were in for a good time, unless it's Body Shop, apparently.
Body Shop. Great cover.
But, you know, I will defend this movie till I die. Chopping Mall is fantastic.
Fun.
Fantastic.
So the and the title of this in other territories like Japan was Killbots.
Killbots.
And I bet bet you it was also Killbots here, and I bet probably they're about to release it, and they slashers are kicking butt.
Well, they did. I think the I haven't seen the Blu-ray in a while, but I think the story was is they had done a soft release as Killbots with Killbot materials, and it didn't perform as well, and then they just kind of went back.
Corporate
move.
That's a corporate move.
Yes, very much so. And went back and reconceived it. But yeah, this is a great cover.
And next slide.
Yeah. all right, so this is my pick. It's Sleepaway Camp 2. It's a girl that's not Angela on the cover at all from any of the movies with a backpack, and she's carrying the... I know they look weird now, but in this era at the Halloween stores, these are the only versions of a Freddy glove or a hockey mask that you can get. Yep. There is nothing even remotely screen accurate like you can get at a convention now. That was what we had. And so the idea of her having basically, again, there's a theme here. I love mashups. And it's like, whoa, there's a girl that's going to be like Freddy and Jason and Leatherface? Sold. I'm going to rent this. And, you know, I do like the movie a lot now in retrospect. I mean, I love the first movie. It's a totally different tone. But this, I mean, this image, I'll just never forget this, whoever the hell this girl is, whatever happened to her. Does anyone know?
Like, is she out there?
This cover model. She should be on the convention circuit.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love it. You know, this is what gets a young horror fan excited is referencing all the things that you're already in love with at that period. So.
And the funny thing is you have the protagonist on the back box.
Yeah.
The back of the box.
Yeah, you're like, oh,
that's her.
That's her, I guess.
Pamela Springsteen.
Pamela Springsteen, right on the back.
And next slide.
Yes.
So,
Becca is the stuff.
Yeah, talk about it not really being in the movie exactly. Like, this, for me, read more kind of paranormal-ish, to be honest. Like, I saw this as much more kind of like goopy entity type thing. And it reads way more scary and serious than the movie actually is. But I love both versions. I love the movie is by far in like my top 10 like Desert Island Horror films. And then this cover, it made me run it every time. So I just love it. The stretched mouths.
I also love that. It's rare you see this on a video box, but it says next to every actor another movie you know them from.
In case you didn't recognize the name.
But on the box art. Right. Paul Sorvino. Oh, God. You know.
Larry Cohen. It's Alive.
Yeah. And next slide.
Yes. Elric.
Yeah.
Curtains.
Canadian movie, by the way.
I don't think it's meant to have that other title under it. That's the best copy we could find.
This was the highest res one I could find.
Yeah, no, but I hadn't seen this one actually in the VHS day, so this is more recent. I actually saw it with Rob, right? The first time we watched Curtain.
Synapse.
But this is just such a good cover. Like, I wish I'd seen this when I was young. This is actually one of my favorite in terms of the art. Just this long, elongated mouth that are becoming the curtains for this little baby doll that is just heavily also vaginal. And looks like childbirth. It's really fucking disturbing. And this old person's face, it's just not right. This is like my I mean, we talk about it on show a lot, but my favorite term is definitely kinder trauma and all those things that messed up us up as a kid. And I just look at this image, and this box cover would have been enough to have disturbed me, because anything like that deals with the uncanny, these like doll-like faces that just aren't human enough. But and it kind of delivers on this. I mean, there's a couple scenes with the mask that are like the old mask you see there that are genuinely frightening and strange in this movie. It definitely feels like two movies.
It's got great moments.
Yeah, it's like two movies, right? You got the first half, which is very theatrical, and then the second half where you have an ice skating, you know, killer with a crazy mask. But if you haven't seen this one, definitely put it on your list. I think it's really interesting.
The doll is in it, but very briefly.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the movie's batshit across the...
It's a really batshit film. I'd love to know which artist made this. This is the kind of artist... I bet they did a bunch of other good stuff.
Yeah, it looks similar to... Joan, who did The Changeling and Scanners. I don't know. It's
okay.
Tough, right?
Yeah, we'll have to look it up.
Okay, next slide.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
This was mine, wasn't it?
The Gates of Hell.
See, it was either Zombie or this, so I chose this one. Again, it's like that big head at the top, the city below. It always works. It always has, you know, like a depth and epic feeling of dread. Great illustration. Great type, too, by the way. Type is huge. Mm-hmm. I love doing my own type. Yeah. It's a big part of it. It becomes the logo of the movie. Everything about this cover just grabs my attention. And I love this movie. I watch it once a year. It's a once-a-year movie for me.
Is there? I'm curious, from a, like, in terms of font, is there a certain tedium that comes with it, or do you find something super excited about it? Is there a certain tedium with, like, because you create your own fonts?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a painstaking process?
I'm always curious. It's not. I love it. Like, I did go to school for graphic design, and you had to do all your type by hand. So, you know, ascenders, descenders, all, you know, you learn it all. And so I just sort of, like, coming from that era, being born in that era, everything I do, I want it to look like that.
Yeah.
And so it's it can be difficult, but I just, it's so fun for me.
That's
that
cool.
I've gotten over those humps since I've been doing it for so long. So
yeah. I love the warning, too, where it's just, it may be considered shocking. So, I mean, I think that warning somebody away from something
is
such the ultimate pull.
Yeah, yeah.
And in this case, I mean, it opens with a priest hanging himself in a cemetery.
Yeah. It's like a girl about puking or
guts. Oh,
yeah, the puking guts.
So good, so good.
Okay, so, yeah, next slide. Okay, so we're down to our number twos. Okay, next slide.
Death Spa.
That's an amazing cover.
Well done.
I never saw Death Spa. My introduction was actually Fangoria. They did like a full page ad, and I was like, I need to see this. One, I have no idea how this guy is working on his pecs and his chest explodes. I need it. There's a lot of promise in this artwork.
Yeah,
it's promising. Mm-hmm. You can't work on your chest without your chest exploding. You might turn into a zombie if you're on the Stairmaster or on the bike. You're going to sweat blood. Luckily, I think the movie delivers.
So long.
Well, that's the 80s, dude.
I know.
There's just
like
the high-cut,
80s bathing suits.
Leotards there.
Yeah, so. Yeah. And it's just like, I just love the composition of it all. You know, you've got something in the foreground. You've got like a hellfire behind it. I don't know. Just, and again, it kind of...
Ryan, I'm seeing a pattern to your kind of woman. Beautiful half-naked woman with skull faces here, baby. What's going on?
I do tell Ciara to put on a skull mask every once in a while.
All right. No shaming here.
Anyways, Death Spa.
Death Spa.
I love it.
Next slide.
Okay. So this is my pick. I have a confession to make. The Company of Wolves. Honestly, I don't remember this movie at all.
It's great.
But yeah, I will never forget this cover. And because when I was a kid, I was obsessed with werewolves. I just loved werewolves. Wolfman was my favorite. Fox had a show called Werewolf that I mm-hmm. thought was amazing, that I'd watch every week. It was just like an Incredible Hulk ripoff, where he'd just go town to town and help people and turn into a wolf and like kill bad people.
It's like Hulk with a werewolf.
Yeah. And then, you know, of course, I grew up on, you know, Michael Jackson's Thriller was always on. So that transformation, which introduced me to Rick Baker and, you know, his work in American Werewolf in London. So I've always been obsessed with werewolves and their transformations. This is the first time I saw the idea of a wolf coming out of you. And so the image of like the wolf snout coming out of somebody's mouth and that being kind of part of the transformation, this
super
image just
disturbing.
Never left me. Yeah, and I don't know if that happens in the movie.
They have good effects in it.
Yeah, it happens like that, yeah.
But not as good as Hemlock
Peels
Grove,
them away
the show.
Hey, yeah, Hemlock Grove.
I didn't love the show, but I loved that moment. Was like, holy shit, they basically recreated that kind of transformation.
Yeah. No, the movie across the board is pretty good. You should revisit it. Yeah,
it's really dry and slow.
It's very kind of fairy tale-ish, like a nightmare fairy tale. It reminds me of like Valerie and her Week of Wonders, where it's really slowly paced, but or Lamora, where it's
I was just
going to
say
like,
that. Yeah, Lamora.
Like a child's sense of horror, where it's really slowly paced, but then it punches really hard.
Yeah, it's got a great ending.
Cool.
But once again, this is the importance of the balance of the VHS box, because on the front cover, you're like, oh, that's intriguing. And on the back, you're like, fuck yes.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit, what is happening to that guy? Like, that is just disturbing. But I mean, seriously, that I love that about that you can have both, you know? It's such good balance.
And great blurbs from the Village Voice and the LA Times.
Yeah.
Yes, because I want to go see a film as literate as it is visionary.
You know what you did. Give me a break.
It's an
Elric out of the
film?
Four of
yes,
us.
Yes, I must go.
Jesus.
And next slide.
Mausoleum.
Yeah.
So yeah, just the art on this one. I mean, the movie's I actually have a lot of fun with Mausoleum.
It's a great movie.
But yeah, I loved the art on this, how it definitely had the same perspective and the doorway and everything. It's just beautiful. And you mentioned the font. This is a great font.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
How many of you have seen Mausoleum? Yeah, I just discovered this. I have never seen this, but I discovered it this year, and I think it's probably going to be my favorite movie of the year.
Really?
I genuinely fucking love it.
Mausoleum number one.
Mausoleum is so amazing.
And available.
It was brought to us by
the Vinegar Syndrome table out there.
You can probably go over to their booth now and pick up Mausoleum. Yeah.
But it kind of delivers on the cover. I think, you know, you have got a mausoleum. There is this demon awaiting you.
I almost feel like it doesn't go far enough.
Maybe, yeah. But I think it's a great cover. I agree. This is definitely one of the great VHS covers, I think.
Okay, next slide.
Yeah.
Elric the Video Dead.
Remember that story about renting a movie a bunch of times because of the cover? And never I think this might be the best video cover of all time. I put it in number two. The movie's okay, but when I was young, I just there was something about it. I did not love this movie. I swear to God, I must have rented it like four or five times. That cover is just like, it's perfect for the era. You know, this creature, which is just absolutely horrifying, is bursting out of the TV. And they do deliver on that very early in the movie. I just think that whoever this artist is, they totally win. Also, like, yellow and red just look really sickly and gross together. I hate those colors together, and yet somehow it works.
As a kid, you know, you'll notice up here it's like Medusa home video.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought it was Medusa from Terrorvision. So I thought she had like her own brand. As a kid,
universe.
I was trying to put together this universe in my head. And
it's kind of cool.
I know.
Yeah, like, I'm not even joking. I've just kind of slightly ragged on it, and I want to watch it right now. Like, I've just convinced myself to rewatch this movie, so I don't know what's wrong with me. Love the cover, though.
There's a Canadian band called The Video Dead, too, so based off that, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I love the font on this one, how it is supposed to look kind of electronic.
Yes.
We always had those weird little lightning bolts that look like a Scooby-Doo.
Give it some electricity.
Yeah. That's nice.
And that looks like a VHS, like something you would see. Video looks like something you would see on like a player.
It looks, the way, it looks,
you know,
like
what
a
I mean?
Logo.
Yeah.
Okay, next one.
Yeah. Scanners. Oh,
Scanners.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, this one, again, Michael Ironside's always amazing in any movies he's in. But the image, I know the artist is Joan. That's her name. It was a female artist. And just incredible, incredible image. Really scary. His eyes, the white of the eyes. I feel if you remove the pupil, the soul is gone. Mm. So
Elric has a word for that. Elric, what was the thing that I said? Isn't
they've
a
been mesmered?
He's they've been mesmered.
I've been seeing
word.
The Texas chain, the new Texas.
Elric lost any all sense of vocabulary this weekend.
Yeah,
she got mesmered.
So have I like to make up words.
But yeah, just everything about it. It's like so good, and the movie is incredible. But yeah, it's just, it says everything I want to see in a horror movie. Yeah. You know, it's like the veins popping out. It's an excellent, excellent image. Yes. Just sells the movie.
And if you haven't been, if you're a new listener in the room, we did an interview with the star of this film and got Michael Ironside, and it was one of the most candid, fun interviews we've had on Shockwaves, and especially about some of these sequences. They're pretty fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, guys, let's move into our number ones. Next slide. Number one. Okay.
Wait, should we make predictions first?
Prediction.
Like predict what somebody else is? Because, okay, what other ones have a naked girl with a skull head?
That's the only reason you wanted to do a prediction.
It's not going to fit?
Listen, man, nothing represents adolescence more than sex and death.
That's true.
You know?
Okay. Next slide.
There's no
I wouldn't have done that.
Naked girl with skull head.
Holy cow, man.
All right, what you have here is perhaps the most terrifying box cover of all time, next to Body Shop and probably Three on a Meat Hook for me.
Look at the little arm.
There is just something very pure and grotesque and incredibly gnarly at play here. You don't know what the hell that thing is up there. You know that it's hungry because there's body parts everywhere. And I just love how simplistic it is. It's just, it was just one of those things that when I snuck away to the horror section of our mom and pop video store while my parents were watching or renting Gorky Park or something like that, this Return of the Aliens, Deadly Spawn, was one I wanted to see. And you know what? And this actually delivers, you know, the goods, too, the cover. I mean, the movie actually is what this is,
for
you know.
Sure.
But yeah, I just, this one always stuck with me. Unfortunately, it's one of those ones I try to buy, and they just it goes for way too much money.
What, over 100 bucks.
Over 100 bucks. Yeah,
yeah,
it's ridiculous. But I will own it one of these days.
And sometimes a cheap photo.
A cheap photo, yeah.
It works. Hey, we don't have a budget for illustration.
Well, the funny thing is, I mean, like Deadly Spawn does have a beautifully painted cover.
The one sheet.
But this is the one, I mean, like that one feels much more epic and
it seems
and
like
grandiose.
Galactic.
Yeah.
Like, it's definitely got like a galaxy.
Just like
that's a good word for it.
But this thing is just down and dirty and I love it.
Yeah, it's great.
Okay, next slide.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That was on my original list.
Some context, because my number one is Return of Living Dead 2. First of all, this might be my fault, but these are all in reverse order, so Zombie should have been my number one.
Oh, no!
I'm just realizing now, like, this is what I wanted to lead with.
Numbered them backwards.
Because this is Return of Living Dead 2. Movie-wise, you know, it's okay. I mean, obviously, the first one's the classic. But the reason I like the second one in this image is the first one, you know... my grandma lived like right behind a cemetery. So when I saw the first one, it was at her place. And immediately it was like a dark and stormy night with fog. And I look out the window and I just see the cemetery. And so the first one scared the shit out of me, even though now I get that it's kind of a comedy. But the first one terrified me and I was really, really scared of it. And so what the second one did is, well, first, I love this cover because it reminded me of Fright Night.
Yeah,
it has,
that's what, yeah.
You know, like all of a sudden Art was trying to do that thing where the skull is kind of in the sky. And so,
yeah.
And I loved Fright Night. So I was like, oh, okay, this is kind of going, maybe this is going to be fun like that movie that I love.
Right.
And then I got it and I mean, it doesn't really hold up, but at 12, it made zombies not as scary to me because this movie is so goofy and fun and they make fun of it. And so this made me prepared for Fulci and what was to come. You know, it was kind of guided me into the more serious zombie movies. But as an image goes, again, it's like... I just love that, you know, I just love that cover. The town,
it's
cemetery,
epic.
And like kind of like the clouds that make the skull face. Oh, yeah.
Very interesting that the tagline at the bottom isn't like basically picking up about the last film. It's just talking generically about like, if you like horror, you might like this. It's kind of like a Netflix rating. It's kind of surprising.
Yeah. Okay, next slide.
Street Trash.
My number one.
So good.
Street Trash.
So good.
Street Trash. This scene is in the movie. It does not look this pretty by any regards in the movie. But this made me want to rent it because we had two major box covers that had toilets on them during this time. Ghoulies and Street Trash. Both of which I was like, creature coming out of toilet or being sucked down toilet. Like it just, for some reason, I found both of those covers to be fascinating as a 10-year-old. But this one I remember renting because of this. And I mean, the movie, I love the movie, but it is so bleak. And just it's just bleakness the entire way through.
Yeah, it's a trip.
Yeah, definitely like a social commentary mixed into just an ugly, grimy film. But this cover, somehow it just feels way more splatterpunk. Almost kind of day glow like, and even the perspective, how it's coming down from the hand. I just absolutely love this cover. That actual effect was done by this fantastic effects person, Jennifer Aspinall, who I interviewed for when we were doing Scott Ian's Blood and Guts on the Nerdist channel, and she still has the toilet monster in her garage.
And I love
this day.
No way.
And if you look at the billing block, she's highlighted. She gets her own special block around.
Oh, that's nice to see.
Which is awesome.
Cool.
Yeah.
At this point, she had just done the effects for Toxic Avenger. And so, I think that she was coming off that. So I love that she got her own billing block.
Yeah, this would have been, I think we were this was going to also be my number one or two, but we didn't want to do overlaps. But for me, besides the color and the pink highlight, that quote is my favorite quote of any movie of all time. I mean, imagine Eraserhead meets Night of the Living Dead on the set of Texas Chainsaw Massacre. You're like, what does that even mean? Like, it was just
somehow
on the set because the set was so bad.
When I watch Street Trash, I would think about none of those movies.
Yeah, yeah. But all of them together, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, it's really a fun movie, but it is bleak.
And next slide.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
The Mutilator.
Yeah, no covers made me want to watch a movie more than this cover did. And I probably saw this a bit later. Maybe I think I was like 17 or something when I finally actually got to see this one. But, I mean, look at that. By sword, by pick, by axe, bye-bye. That's like perfect. And it really does. I mean, it goes even further than this, mm-hmm. to be honest, the film. I mean, pieces and things like, you know, they're all pretty close. But I love everything about this. It just makes you feel like something really messed up. And when you finish all those Friday 13th movies in order and you're looking for that other thing and you see that cover,
then you
are in.
Big Ed.
What's that?
Big Ed.
Yeah. No, it's great. I love the way the blood is dripping from the word, the mutilator. I think it's so
good. But also, I was going to say the detail, too, because the worst is yet to come for her, because she's actually hanging by a rope that's hanging under her armpit and then onto the thing. So it's like, oh, nothing's been done to her
yet. He's got plans.
But this guy's got plans.
It's dark. Yeah.
And they're going to be bad.
Okay, next slide.
He's got hairy hands, too.
The Changeling.
How many people have seen this film? Oh, right on. Okay.
That's a good crowd.
For our listeners,
I don't need to,
this is the Changeling.
I don't need to prep this one. But yeah, that image scared the shit out of me when I was a kid. It still does. It's still creepy. It's just, talk about atmosphere. I mean, you know, it's such a slow burn horror movie. You know, that term is thrown around. It really is just an excellent, haunting image. And it has stuck with me like forever. And I have that poster. It's at the top of our staircase in our house on an easel. So, it's amazing. Like, I'm glad that you guys know it. It's a Canadian movie, too, which obviously I'm kind of proud of.
Yes.
So. But I don't know the artist. I'd like to know. It's tough.
And hats off to them for going so subtle. I mean, I think you're
really
right.
Subtle.
What is scary and gets under your skin is often not the gory and the intense.
That's
like
right.
Most of
you don't need that.
Yeah.
You know, just one little thing can just set it off.
The dark
just,
shadow is enough.
Yeah. Say it, you know? So, yeah, it's. I love it. I love it.
Yeah. So, next slide. So, as we moved into the end, question mark. I definitely wanted to put in something about some of the distribution labels and how their logos kind of became so iconic. Like Gorgon Video, I love that logo. I mean, their movies were a mixed bag always, but I loved that image so much. I mean, Elric, I know you have a New World t-shirt and, you know, Canon and Vestron and how the logos kind of became just as iconic as
Isn't there a documentary about the logos giving people like...
Rodney Asher did one on Screen Gems.
On Screen Gems, yeah.
He did one about how scary the Screen Gems logo was and terrified people for generations.
I think that's on YouTube.
Yeah.
Wow.
But Vestron was always my favorite. It was just a pairing of the image with the song, the music, the jingle to it. Followed by Canon. I think Canon's my second fave.
Yeah.
The VHS lines in that Crown Video, you know?
Yeah.
Tracking. Adjust the tracking on that logo.
Last slide?
So that is our top 10.
Well,
or five, sorry. Top five.
Yeah.
So we have about...
We've got to wrap it up.
We're done.
We got the Reanimator team coming in after us. Elric is going to be hosting that. But if you guys want to swing by our table, we're at 31 and 32. Next door, we're selling t-shirts and pins.
Yeah.
But come by and say hi, take a photo. Tell us what some of your favorite box art is.
Yeah.
But keep listening. You can find us on iTunes and Google Play, Spotify.
Wherever
you get your podcasts. Don't forget to leave us a rating. A rating on iTunes makes all the difference because it helps other people find us and spread the word and find us on social media. So thank you so much for coming out.
Thanks, everybody.
Enjoy Texas Frightmare!
Big thanks to Gary for joining us today, too.
Thanks for having me, guys.
This special live episode of Shockwaves from the Texas Frightmare Weekend Convention is brought to you by Fright Rags, your number one source for horror apparel. If you take a look at the video version of this episode, you're going to notice that the entire Shockwaves crew is wearing Fright Rags t-shirts, as well as socks, although you won't be able to spot that. Personally, my latest buys were the Jeff Goldblum Face Fly t-shirt, a classic Halloween 4 one-sheet poster as a baseball tee, and one of the new designs from their Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon collection. Also new, they've just debuted their Happy Death Day line. So head on over to fright-rags.com right now and order yourself some killer wear today. This episode is also brought to you by Fangoria. In July of 1979, the first issue of Fangoria was released into the world. And now, this summer, Fangoria magazine is turning 40 and celebrating accordingly with its fourth issue. 100 pages of exclusive, carefully curated content honoring horror's past, present, and future. These articles and interviews will never be published online, so the only way to read them is by getting your hands on a physical, collectible copy of your own. We can't give away anything yet because we want you to experience it and have it be a surprise, but we can safely say that you do not want to miss a single page in issue 4. We are celebrating in style. Head on over right now to Fangoria.com to learn more and to subscribe. And if you subscribe today, your subscription starts with the 40th anniversary issue, which is issue number 4, shipping in July. Use the code SHOCKWAVES to save 10% off your subscription. That's right, just type in SHOCKWAVES and you'll get 10% off of Fangoria. Tonight's Shockwaves is also brought to you by Shudder. AMC Network Shudder is a premium streaming video service super serving fans of all degrees with the best selection of horror and thrillers. Shudder's irrepressible and thriving community revels in all things provocative, evocative, and dangerous. From bantering with Shudder on social media and contributing fantastic irreverent reviews to relishing in member-only perks such as exclusive releases and VIP movie screenings. Shudder believes there is safety in numbers, so don't be left in the dark alone right now. You could stream Shudder right now for $4.99 a month or $49.99 a year. Shudder has the largest, fast and growing human curated selection of thrilling and dangerous entertainment. They've also got great originals like the documentary Horror Noir. It's the only place that you could find Joe Bob Briggs in The Last Drive-In, and plenty of original content such as the upcoming One Cut of the Dead. So try Shudder right now for 30 days free. Go to shudder.com/podcast. That's shudder.com/podcast. And use the promo code WAVES. That would be WAVES. And you're going to get 30 days free.